each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. I am your brother, and I share with you the distress and the endurance in the kingdom we have in Christ Jesus. And
there is distress.
Yeah, so it's every. It's part of life.
Yep.
But we're going to begin with prayer, okay?
Yes.
I think that's the best way to start, and we should do this all the time, begin right away with prayer. So let's just put ourselves in the presence of God and Our Lady, open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and entrust our nation, our church, our families, our marriages, the priesthood, all sacred institutions, and those that are not so sacred, you know, that there be truly, that we be imbued with the Spirit of God. And we pray for what we call a metanoia, which is really a change of heart, a turning toward God in all things, acknowledging that it's from God we come, it's to God we go, it's in God we must really choose to live. Yeah, we're made not for ourselves, but for God, and we so quickly forget that, and for reasons. Thank you. All right, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother most pure,
pray for us.
Mother most chaste,
pray for us.
Mother inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin most venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin most renowned,
pray for us. pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice,
pray for us.
Seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of heaven,
pray for us.
Morning star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
Comfort of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of angels,
pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of all saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of the family,
pray for us.
Queen of peace,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of marriage and family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation of this nation, on which this foundation was founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Now, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Incarnate Word, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Saint Joseph, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Yeah, to thee do we come. Before thee do we stand, sinful and sorrowful. I think it's perhaps the antithesis of what we want to admit in our society today, but. Truly, I think that's perhaps part of the problem is we've lost our sensitivity to the reality of sin. It'll be interesting. This week as well as the following week, the readings are quite interesting, and it'd be a nice way to reflect on our response to the unrest and the crisis we find ourselves in. And truly, if this nation is in crisis, the whole world is in crisis. If the church is in crisis, the whole world is in crisis. So, don't you think?
It's a good way of looking at it. I never thought about that, but yeah. I think we get caught up too in the workings of the world, and you don't realize that, yeah, that's a statement, a true statement.
It's just, we have this difficult, it's a very hard thing, I guess, to really, I think I mentioned before, we prayed that we're created not for ourselves, but for God. And to really, truly keep God at the center of life, to build on the foundation of his life, and not to lose that sensitivity is so necessary. As Jesus said, that the rain's going to come and the wind's going to blow. But if you're grounded in the Trinitarian God, then the house, it won't collapse. Good always prevails. It always has. But the battle remains ever a reality until he comes at the end of time.
I wonder if many people, especially people in government, knew that we're made for God. And then they make those decisions that they do make and the things that they do, or people in general.
Well, I think it's a question that not just with government, but across mm-hmm. the board.
It's like
across the board. I was listening to something this morning about the baby boomers. I'm reluctant to categorize people mm-hmm. in such a way. You know, the millennials, the baby boomers, the Generation X, and whatever they
Y,
are,
Z, whatever.
Whatever, all this stuff.
Millennials.
but each generation has its. Makes its contribution to civilization, but each generation also can pervert and distort mm-hmm. and do great harm to the civilization. And certainly that has been the case, you know, in an accelerated way since the 1960s. And right now it seems like the destructive element of this kind of social engineering mm-hmm. is has got the upper hand. Right now, it really does. And in the process, people who adhere to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ, those who adhere to the commandments of God, those who recognize that God is a God of order, mm-hmm. law and order. And has ordered things in a certain, he's supreme wisdom, and he's ordered the world in a certain way. It's a disordered world because of original sin, but we seem to, collectively speaking, collectively speaking, we will not serve. You know, so it's always the temptation away from God, and to put man at the center. And this is a grave temptation for the church. It's a grave temptation for anybody and everybody, because God remains rather beautifully mysterious. I think, you know, this is and I say beautifully mysterious because, you know, we're as I say, we're made for God. We're destined for God. We're not condemned to be here forever. This is a place of the battle. This is a place of unrest. Jesus, I keep quoting this now because it's just, again, certain things just kind of stick to me, such as Paul leaving Ephesus and saying that I leave with a clean conscience because I did not withhold from you the full counsel of God, but you know that the ravenous wolves are coming. And he's speaking to the priests. This is in the early church. And so that ever since reading that, it just it stuck with me because it was the... It's the answer to this moral therapeutic deism that has this is a great heresy that seems to have, I call it a heresy that has enveloped the church, which is the mainstay of truth, you know, but it's so that it becomes so much about feelings and feeling good and try not to rock the boat, accommodate, get to, you know, befriend the world. You know, we talk about this all the time, but it's, yes, we have to be in dialogue with the world. We don't escape to the top of a mountain or into a cave, but we have to be, we're in the world, but not of the world, and unapologetically adhere to our faith, proclaim our faith, and if we do that, as Jesus taught, then we make a contribution to the proper ordering of society. But when we take God out of the center and we put man in the center, then we're guilty of idolatry. And certainly, if we're living in God, then we live for man, woman, we live for people, because we have our mission is to be the leaven, to be the salt, to be light in the darkness, to be the sacrament that mediates the grace, because we participate in the sacramental life of the church. And so God's desire is to reproduce his life in us. This is the mission that has been entrusted to us. But that means we have to absolutely, in a very intentional way, keep God absolutely at the center. And you think about this, we talk about these things all the time, but there was a time when, you know, just the language of the people was God-centered. You know, just the greeting, how you greeted people, how you good day, goodbye. I mean, good comes from, I think, the God, you know, mm-hmm. God. So there was always, you know, that you wish upon each other the blessing of God's blessing. You know, in Italy, I forget how it's actually said, but you wish on Saturday, everywhere you go, you're wishing each other a good Sunday, the Lord's Day, you know. I don't remember exactly in Italian how that, but all day Saturday, anytime you meet anybody or you're leaving, they wish you a good Sunday, the holy day, the day of rest, the day of worship. A collective worshiping, you know, that we have an obligation to worship God on Sunday. And that was really quite beautiful. And then the other thing is the greeting, Salve, the point is that the greeting, everything we have, what is, like in Spanish, adios, you know, God, to God, you know, Dios is God. So our language was really born out of our having God at the center of life. And so you wish each other God's blessing. You greet each other. You know, in many cultures, it was, for instance, in English, praise be Jesus Christ, and the response would be automatically now and forever. You know, even in the convents and in many of the religious communities, that was the old greet. You know, you would greet everybody, praise be Jesus Christ. The Mass would begin. Of course, I think we're doing this now in our church. Praise be Jesus Christ, and the response would be now and forever, Amen. Nick Benja Poc Valoni is. Christus, navieki vieku. My mind's not functioning. My tongue's not functioning. But in Polish, you know, it's the same thing. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. The response would be now and forever. So everything was, you know, even as we've mentioned before, holidays were. Holy days. Mm-hmm. It was the holy days. Your days. So you had your Sunday was your day of rest. It was a day centered in God, devoted to God, and therefore devoted to each other. So it was that this was a day when we had the obligation to participate in the public worship of God, to give witness in public worship, to offer to God. Our lives, always remember, St. Paul says, offer your life a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. And this is how we participate in the Holy Mass. Mass, again, means missio, mission. We come to Mass as people with a mission. Living that mission And we come to pause to be reminded by hearing the Word of God so that we not forget, you know, who we are, what we're called to, what Jesus laid out for us. And then from there, we move to the altar of sacrifice, and we offer our lives. We renew our covenant with the Lord. We offer our lives a living sacrifice. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. I offer you my life. I entrust you my life. I give you my life. Because, again, we're made not for ourselves but for God. So I lay my life on the altar in union with Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, to unite, to participate in his sacrifice, which is most pleasing to God the Father, right? Mm-hmm. And so we offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. We acknowledge before we, as we begin the Mass, that we are sinners. We acknowledge before we receive Jesus in Holy Communion, after we've offered our lives on the altar, and then we approach the altar rail for Holy Communion, this communion with God, so that, you know, God who feeds us with himself, the Father feeds us with his Son, his body, his blood, his soul, and divinity, so that we take Christ, we've renewed our covenant with the Lord, we receive Jesus into our lives, literally, and then we're sent. But even before that, we acknowledge again, we're not, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you. Say, but only the word, my soul will be healed. So there's this beautiful element of humility, you know, and even, and this is why I'm a firm believer in, number one, ad orientem, that the priests face the east or face God, lead the people into the sacrifice. Christ is the sacrifice. We enter into that sacrifice, offering this sacrifice in union with Christ to the Father, and that we humbly receive the Lord on our knees. I believe, and the image is so powerful, because I probably have mentioned this before, but because I do believe, see, you know, as the saints have said, and I forgot specifically which saint said it, but as you pray, so you believe; as you believe, so you live. But our prayer has to be a prayer of humility and gratitude, you know, and because we've been loved into life. We've been gifted with life. We've been created for God, who is life, and we've been redeemed. So humility and gratitude should be the letter I just wrote to the parents and our teachers, that it's, this is what we teach: faith, virtue, valor, humility, that we're made not for ourselves but for God, and to completely eradicate from our lives these identity politics, which are very divisive, and stoking division and angst and in the hearts of, we don't want to do this, you know, this is what's going on in our nation, and it's purposefully being done because it's the work of the enemy, the devil, mm-hmm. Satan, wants this division to divide, and in order to destroy. And so we're constantly working against that, but we can't possibly claim victory if God is kept out of the picture, if he's not at the center. And so going back to your question, do you wonder if people in government, this is across the board. Mm-hmm. What are the, we need to, and this will come up, maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow because it comes up in the readings in the next couple of Sundays, but in 2 weeks, you know, when the disciples abandon, think about that, they abandon their nets to follow Jesus. He says, come. And so they abandon their nets to follow him. We're at a point in time, in order to save, well, we need a savior, to save our nation, to save the world. We can't do it without Christ. We were built on Judeo-Christian principles, We went through the I don't think I brought them here, but some of the quotes from our founding fathers, that this nation was, this constitution was created for a moral and religious people. The if we do not return to God, and I mean really put God at the center. See, we'll give lip service, right? Mm-hmm. We give lip service. And so there will be prayers that are prayed in government. We all pray, I would hope. But it's one thing that prayer become lip service. What did they do last week in the chamber? This prayer to the god of, I forgot that Brahma, or I think it was a Hindu god or something, mm-hmm. and who's supposed to be the god of all gods or represent all the gods. You know, this is offensive to our, should be offensive. Mm-hmm. It should be offensive.
But not offensive to the people that follow that god, I guess. So.
Well, unfortunately, not offensive to many, I guess half the nation now, because there's been this concerted effort to deconstruct sacred institutions, mm-hmm. and this really was begun in this nation really, really, really mm-hmm. in a very concerted way in the 1960s.
I just don't understand sometimes, and again, I'm just thinking, you know, we're having a conversation thinking about it, and, you know, this is a country that has been certain principles from the very beginning, and why somebody would then go ahead and decide, well, I don't like this. Let's change this. And I don't understand it. It's like a certain truth you don't change to accommodate everybody. That's not what a truth is then. Then it becomes malleable. You can just move it and, you know, do whatever. You know, it doesn't mean anything anymore. And that's what I think in a way is, again, and I look at the United States of America, is it really fair to a lot of people? I'll acknowledge that it's not, but then it's not supposed to be, really. I mean, we
what's that?
Well, just the country. You know, some people don't get certain things, or some people are upset that they don't, whatever, like when you talk about maybe racism and things like that. I mean, that's there. I mean, I don't think you can ever get rid of that. You can just try to understand it. You know, and again, if you come to the point where we're now, I think, at a point where it's like, okay, I don't want to understand it anymore. I want you to do what I tell you
to
do.
Well, I think
that doesn't work that way.
I'm a believer in meritocracy. In other words, we have to earn and we have got to eradicate anything that doesn't.
Right.
You know, we can't allow. See, what happens, I think, in the current situation we're in, is that people are being subjugated for the purpose of power and political power. If I can keep you dependent, if I can subjugate, this is where we get into the whole identity politics and create these divisions. And it's, rather than really building people up, it keeps people down.
Yeah.
And so this is, I heard this, something about if we can just keep everybody comfortable and, you know, give them, you know, give,
right.
You know, keep, it's like a parent who gives the child anything and everything that child wants
exactly.
in order to placate the child so that the parent can live in it in an unruly way mm-hmm. rather than take the responsibility of inculcating a proper discipline. The work ethic that is so important in life, because what happens is, you know, you do a grave disservice to the child because that's not the way the world is.
Exactly.
And when you get you get into the real world, you know, you're an adult now. It's not very nice.
Yeah.
And so I think this is part of what we see happening. You know, perhaps in the nation as well, is that all of a sudden, you mean I've got to take responsibility?
Yeah.
I've got to work. I've got to, it's not about me, but it better be about me. And if it's not about me, and if it's not for me, then then you got to bring down the. So it's almost as if we're looking for the perhaps could I just say we were looking for these politicians who are going to appease us and placate us and give us, and you know, we're not going to be held responsible, you know, because this is how we've been raised. Maybe right. I don't know. I'm just saying this, and so until we, because if we really talk about Judeo-Christianity, see, even the whole thing of social justice is what's there is injustices, and we have to as Catholics, we have to work toward a justice for all people. Mm-hmm. We have a mission that goes out to all people. I mean, Jesus says, "Go to all the nations." But what did he say? You know, first preach repentance of, you know, repent of your sins, be baptized, forgive, be reconciling. But it's you know, he's laid out the blueprint, and so we have that obligation to be a merciful people and a just people. But social justice became almost a kind of idolatry itself, because really wrapped into that is identity politics, mm-hmm. which pits people against people. And I've seen it all the years of my priesthood. We dealt with it over here in this community, radical leftist organizers who tried and managed to divide our people, but they disappeared, and we continue to build on our faith. Don't remember exactly the point that I wanted to make, but I think that the we have to call each other, and this is why, of course, God is rejected, Judeo-Christianity is rejected, the Catholic Church is rejected. Jesus is offensive, unless, you know, we morph it all into moral therapeutic deism, where right. It's a feel-good kind of a religion, but then it loses all relevancy, and people walk away anyway. It just all it does is it appeases their conscience.
Yeah.
You know, so God is a permissive God because we've had permissive parents, we've had permissive priests, and so, you know, don't tell me that I can't do this, or I can't do that, or I can't be this, or I can't be that. No, parents have an obligation. We have an obligation to call people to disciplined lives, to ordered lives, to obey the commandments. And okay, in a disordered world, but if we're not embracing that reality, which is the reality of our faith, in knowing that we are weak and we are sinful, we have the sacrament of reconciliation. Mass is, again, we acknowledge as we enter into Mass that we are sinners, and before we receive Holy Communion. But to suggest that you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, he's a sinner, she's a sinner, this is sinful behavior, and of course you see this in everything that's playing out in the nation right now, where there's this very blatant double standard,
yep.
And where people are being completely demonized, the people being demonized and being accused of being Nazis and being thugs and the mob, aside from that small percentage that that breached the Capitol, the vast majority of people, who, by the way, consisted of all people of all ethnicities,
yep.
But they've been completely demonized and are being censored and silenced, and yet the very people doing that and who have actually impeached the president were the very people who were calling for violence.
Exactly.
and applauding the looting and the rioting and the unrest and even calling for it, calling for it.
But see, the interesting thing is, and to be honest, I'm sorry if I even steered the conversation this way. It's not what I want to talk about. But the hypocrisy of all this is just unbelievable. And I wonder if people actually see this, or is it just a matter of, okay, what can we do?
Well, nobody knows what to do.
Well, okay, so we're going to take a break. We'll come back. And the Christian response to chaos in our midst. So that kind of leads us right into that.
I need faith to...
You know, but you're right. It's just people do see, but they've been... they've been shut out, mm-hmm. shouted out.
That's how it feels.
Frozen out. And this is extremely dangerous and extremely frustrating. And it can be really, really counterproductive. That's why we've got to really, really... we'll come back and talk. A Christian response to chaos in our midst. So everybody stay with us. Don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy offers excellence by educating the mind, heart, and spirit of your child with faith, virtue, and honor. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Anyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten through 8th grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago, one block north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit ststandschicago.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the Sacrament of Reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, two blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I don't even know who wrote this. I'm looking now to see who the author of this is, but it's. But let me just share it with you, okay? So I read this just this morning, rather quickly. It's called The Christian Response to Chaos in Our Midst. And the fact that there's so much of this coming out, it tells you, you know, that everybody is just struggling. In fact, it begins by saying, I, like everyone, have struggled with a wide range of emotions since the last presidential election. If there is emotion, a human emotion to be had, I've had it. As a lifelong student of history, I know well things can easily get out of control with a mob mentality and manipulation of the masses through disinformation campaigns. Do you take to the streets, retreat, start throwing things, or say to the Lord, this is your mess, you figure it out? People are asking two things. What is going on? What should I do? People are trying to figure out which way the fox is going to go. And our personal anxiety is really about our welfare going forward. Will I have a job? Will my financial safety net be there to catch me? or will the country frankly be broke? Government spending and the horribly destructive domestic and foreign policies of government cannot go on much longer before we fall into a heap of ashes. At the moment, we are on the precipice. We are at a critical juncture in world history. These are valid issues that concern all of us. And then he goes on to say that the American Civil War was North versus South and fought primarily over the perennial issue of state rights. The South didn't want to be told what to do by a North looking to take away their state rights as they saw fit for self-governance. Slavery was the vehicle for war. The upcoming conflict that is escalating is going to be blue state versus red state, a communism versus the principles of a republic. We will shortly see a bifurcated country along the ideological lines of the role of government and enforcement of its laws. The ramifications of these differences will be more profound than most people think. And he says, and it's so true, he says, relationships are fracturing at an alarming rate right now. Believers and conservatives in general feel as if they have been pushed too far and are simply not bothering with liberal friends who shoved their ideology down their throats for years. No one is listening to the other now, and that too will escalate further, furthering breaking apart families and friends. Neutral or middle ground is now hard to find. Neutrality has ended, and that is troublesome for societal stability. So this begs the question, what is the response of the believer to navigate the shoals that are now roaring in our hearts at close range? And he says the answer is found in many places in Scripture. One that is most poignant is when Jesus was captured by Roman soldiers in the Garden of Gethsemane due to the betrayal of Judas, one of the apostles. Jesus came to the earth to die. He was the only person in the history of the world to fulfill a mission to die for the redemption of all mankind. Jesus said several times, "My hour has not yet come." That's really all in John's gospel. The Blessed Virgin Mary, she initiated the mission at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. And when she said, you know, they have no wine, and he says, "Woman, why does this concern us? The hour has not yet come." And she just looks to the stewards and says, "Do what he tells you to do." And he performs his first miracle in John's gospel. And then the whole of the gospel is moving toward the hour. But so several times in John's gospel, he says, "My hour has not yet come." Hour always referred to evil. Until Jesus was ready for the completion of his mission, he was untouchable. And he really was, you know. You think about this is a very interesting article here. He was untouchable. You remember even when he went into his own hometown of Nazareth and he tried to, he went into the synagogue, as was the law on the Sabbath, and he opened up the prophet Isaiah, and he said, this reading is fulfilled in this moment in your presence. And everybody was astonished, but when they realize who he is, that he's one of them, you know, he's one of their kinfolk. He was raised in Nazareth. They want to destroy him. They throw him, but he slips out. He's able to avoid, and he does up until the end, up until the hour, he's able to avoid all. Nobody can trap him. Nobody can catch him. He was untouchable. And so going to Gethsemane, he knew the final act of his mission was about to unfold, and his apostle Judas was about to betray him with a prearranged sign of a kiss on his Savior's cheek. All of the apostles were with Jesus in the garden, but Judas. Prayer was absent from his life, from the life of Judas, as he never grasped the true mission of Jesus. And maybe that goes back to your question about, you know, I forget how you put the question, but how can we opt for something other than God, or claim to be Christians, or claim to be Catholics, and use the name God, but yet do commit these atrocities or the bold-faced lies, all this stuff that we've been watching unfold mm-hmm. for the last, well, for all time. But if prayer is absent, besides just giving lip service to the Lord, but prayer is a disposition, it's the disposition of the heart and the soul, all things turn toward a great sensitivity to God. But for Judas, prayer was absent from his life as he never grasped the true mission of Jesus. The other 11 fought staying awake, and Jesus rebuked them, asking them for not giving him 1 hour of prayer. Jesus sweat blood while in agony, knowing Calvary awaited him. His hour had now come. At the moment of arrest, Peter drew a sword and, showing himself a swordsman, struck the high priest's servant Malchus, cutting off his ear. And Jesus then said to Peter, "Put your sword away into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given to me?" Literally, hours away from death, Jesus tells Peter, "If you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. Violence begets violence. This is not the prescription for peace that Jesus came to give." Before his trial, Jesus prayed alone and asked others to be with him in prayer. Their human nature and lack of resolve got in the way, and they failed to be with Jesus in his darkest hour. They fell asleep. Jesus was all alone. And this author is saying, suggesting to a great degree, many of us are alone today. The overwhelming majority of humanity is insensitive to the cry of prayer, the power of Eucharistic adoration, the rosary, the mass, confession, redemptive suffering, fasting, building of local community, and understanding what Jesus wants from us. The greatest sin of all may be our indifference. Now is the time to double down in the above spiritual exercises. So the question, what do we do in a time like this? We double down in the above spiritual exercises. We cry the cry of prayer, the power of Eucharistic adoration, the rosary, the mass, confession, redemptive suffering. This is a suffering we have to endure. We have to suffer this. Fasting, building the local community. I always, especially in the evening, the mass in the evening, these people that come Monday to Friday, there's a lot of people. And it just, you can't imagine the strength you get from just knowing that you're, that's when you know you're not alone, mm-hmm. You know you're not alone, that we're all in this, and we're all trying to figure out what to do, where to go. But we're actually doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're taking that time out of our day to place ourselves. And I say the most beautiful thing for me in the day is being in the confessional and just being in this silent church and watching, because I can see from my window the people as they come, and they just quietly, they kneel and they pray. And it's just a beautiful thing. And you really feel the presence of God. You feel the presence of God. You feel the presence of Our Lady. And you feel like it's all going to be okay, because God is with us. In any case, as he says, now is the time to double down in the above spiritual exercises. It is not a time to be a doormat and lay down and surrender, but we are asked to be the light on a hill, echoing the words of Jesus, "Put your sword into its sheath." It is a time of nonviolent non-cooperation to tyranny and a state that is hell-bent on pagan practices with an overt agenda to crush the believing population. And this is exactly what's happening. This is the end goal, because this is the work of the devil. Your silence, our silence, is consent to tyranny. For our own welfare, we must now speak up, or we will be involuntarily silenced. We've lived for millennia without social media, and maybe heaven is saying, it's time to put it away. 6+ hours a day staring at a screen for anyone is excessive. Most of the information traded on social media is insipid, inane, and banal. It is a giant time sapper from what is most important in life. Is Jesus asking us now, can you not pray with me 1 hour? One of the brightest stars in the ecclesiastical world is Archbishop Vigano, who recently said that the kingdom of Satan was upon the world. That is an amazing statement from a man with his pedigree as a voice of reason in a world that has gone mad. We are told to the Marian apparitions, you will know you're in the times spoken of by the events themselves. Repeatedly, we are told the refuge is in her Immaculate Heart. Again, this is why I'm convinced for the call of Our Lady to open our doors, that we find refuge in her Immaculate Heart. And I think about the monstrance. Mm-hmm. What is in her Immaculate Heart but the Blessed Sacrament, exactly. You know? So this is making more sense to me, because we are in this is the time. Repeatedly we are told to find refuge in her Immaculate Heart. You will find safety nowhere else. Does being a believer in times of crisis and turmoil mean you turn into a mouse or a swordsman? There is great room in between those two concepts to show your descent from tyrannical rule and your ability to do something spiritually constructive. And as I was reading that this morning, I was thinking, because I was in the chapel actually reading this and before the Blessed Sacrament, I was thinking, you know, this is a time to, in a rather bold way, I'm thinking of the Jews who were forced to wear the Star of David, that they would be identified anywhere and everywhere, you know, and this is what led to the, you know, this was all the prelude to the extermination camps, concentration camps. And I was thinking, you know, isn't this a time when we need to, because we know we're in a battle, and those of us who, this is a sifting time. I mentioned this the other day. Jesus said, okay, now, all right, here we are. Are you with me or are you against me? Are you hot? Are you cold? Declare yourself. If you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. But it's not even that he has to spit us out of his mouth. People just walk away, mm-hmm. You know? But this is a time of declaration. I have to stand in this world now and declare myself publicly that I am a Catholic, a Christian. So I was thinking, you know, and I, of course, wear the Roman collar, so wherever I go, I'm identified, but that we should all be, you know, wearing a crucifix. We should wear something that identifies us anywhere and everywhere that I am, because just that in and of itself sets us against the powers to be, or the powers that really want the destruction of our life. You know, to get the point that I'm trying to make, I think it's a time when, and of course that reminds us, when I wear, like as I wear the Roman collar, I'm very conscious of who I am and how I behave, mm-hmm. what I should say, what I shouldn't say. It's a very, very visible sign. You know, by the way, we have, I just want to say, Nick, real quick, I don't see the maybe that's my fault, but I don't see the time. Okay, thank you. All right, so I know what we, okay, I know where, I'm just going to keep going, okay? Yeah. So this is a time to be identified and to really decide to live in Christ. Because, you know, as people say, to whom do we have recourse? Mm-hmm. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, somebody came to me and said, you know, because there even many people are disturbed by our own leadership in the church. And again, I remind you, and I'm not trying to make any accusations here, or maybe I'm just, it's a constructive criticism or it's a challenge, because we need leadership. Mm-hmm. And, but in the time of Jesus, in his hour, in the hour of evil, it was the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests collaborating with the Roman officials, collaborating with one of the apostles that, you know, brought Jesus to the hour of evil, which is transformed into the hour of our redemption. So, you know, nothing new under the sun, and Jesus forewarned us about this. In fact, he said, Jesus says, when he comes, will there be faith? Will there be faith or hearts that have gone cold? So this is a real question. I mean, today it just makes so much, it makes sense today, you know? In any case, just to bring this to a close, if you think we've reached a crescendo of evil, you would be wrong. The coming forced COVID-19 vaccine. Now, this is, you can agree or not agree. I'm just reading from this article because I don't know yet where I stand with that. I certainly don't advocate and hope that anything be forced. But if that should happen, the coming forced COVID-19 vaccine will separate the men from the boys and the girls from the women. When various forms of commerce are precluded, such as flights, in other words, when you can't fly, you can't enter buildings, you can't shop at your local grocery store, credit card use, you can't use your credit card, you can't pay your water, your electrical bill, the ability to register and drive your car, entry into schools, to name just a few, unless you can show your digital or immunity passport. Are we coming to that? You will be barred from many things shortly. The passport is about the size of a credit card and will show if you have all the necessary vaccines required by the state to show compliance and good standing with the state. It will be the same as the social credit score that is used by the Communist Party of China to determine if someone is in compliance. This is the fear that many people have. I've heard this over and over. And it could very well be. Could very well be. But he concludes by saying, be a voice. Time is short. Evil exists because good people do nothing. The silence of the believer has brought us to this place at his very moment in history. If you continue to live in fear of what others think of you, you will not have a voice that can bring a remedy to this mess we find ourselves in. If not you, who? If not now, when? And then he ends with a quote from Psalm 37, for the power of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord supports the just. Jesus, I trust in you. And let me just, in the last moment we have, I thought this was very interesting. This is a reading from the letter to the Hebrews that we're hearing it in the masses read throughout the Catholic world. The Holy Spirit says, that today you will hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at the rebellion in the day of testing in the desert, when your ancestors tested and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Because of this, I was provoked with that generation, and I said, they have always been of erring heart, and they do not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you may have an evil and unfaithful heart so as to forsake the living God. Encourage yourselves daily while it is still today, so that none of you may grow hardened by the deceit of sin. We have become partners of Christ if only we hold the beginning of the reality until the end. And that's where we end. So, thanks everybody for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong. but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say?